We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's March 1st. It's 2021, and we have seven NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my good buddy, Chief Justice 06, Will. How was your weekend? How were you doing, my friend?
Weekend was okay, man. Definitely glad to come on another pod. Obviously, I know our prize picks stuff didn't work out. I gotta apologize to the listeners, man. I messed up the disc golf mojo by trying to tail these props, but nonetheless, man, it's all good, and we're gonna keep this thing rolling. And that's the weekend.
If you tailed my disc golf picks all weekend or whatever, the 4 days, and you bet the exact same amount as me, you came out $175 ahead. So, Paul McBeth played really bad on Sunday, and like he threw a shot into the water, and it was like super short because like it just like dropped out of the air because of the wind. And right when that hit the water, he knew he wasn't going to win the tournament anymore, and it was just like he was in coast mode. But anyway. Disc golf, man, it was a ton of fun, just to have something to kind of sweat. Luckily for me, I did post a five NASCAR flex in Discord earlier today. It hit five for five for 10X. So
you got to let me know. So I don't know if you know this or not, but like Prize Picks is my new, like, and Prize Picks isn't new, right? But I've really dug in heavy to Prize Picks, and that's another stream of income. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I'm going to be dropping, you know, I haven't talked about it. I'm going to be dropping my picks every day. You inspired me in that area, but I thought about it. I said, man, I'm using the site. I love it. Might as well try to get them some traction because I really want them to stick around. So I'm on there every day. My money's where my mouth is. They see exactly what I've got on the line. And I've got tons of props going, not just the one I put out there. So I love it, man. So anyway, I don't want to hog it up about Prize Picks, but I do really like the site.
You're good. I will definitely be posting more disc golf if you guys want it. Like I said, it was fun. If you tailed it all week, we hit all five on Thursday. We hit three or four out of five for 2X on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday they missed. So anyway, yeah, like No, but speaking of new, Will, we got a new sponsor on the podcast. Love the site. I've been playing on there, really since they've started. I like the concept. It's nice to like refresh. So if you guys haven't checked out Superdraft, they're the sponsor of the podcast this week. You know, you can use the promo code Grinders. And once you make a deposit of $150 or more, they are going to immediately match your deposit for $150. So it's cash for cash, up to 50, you know, so definitely do the 150, get the immediate matching bonus for 150. So awesome sponsor of the podcast. They've given us an awesome promotion for this week. We are going to have a super draft play of the day at the end before we do the morning grind game. They're unique. They start their slates a little bit later. So it has an 8 o'clock start on their slate today. They have a $40,000 GPP, $6,000 the first place. But it's awesome because you can kind of get your DraftKings and FanDuel stuff done, and then like you can really focus on Super Draft because they start later. You can use the multipliers, so you're not building salary cap teams. So again, we'll have a Super Draft play of the day before we play the morning grind game. But we got 7 NBA games to dig into here and get through. So we're going to get started in this one with Dallas at Orlando, 226 total. Dallas favored by 6.5. I'm going to this game, Will. I'm going to have a game stack, just so you guys know.
We got to talk offline about these Orlando games, Stevie.
Dallas, no injury news. Porzingis is probable. Luka hopefully goes bonkers. And then on the Magic side, Anthony Ennis, Fultz, Aaron Gordon, and Isaac are all out still. Let's start here with Dallas. Who do you like for the Mavs?
Luka, that is it.
Again, I'm going to sack this game. Anybody that's gone to a live sporting event ever playing DFS, like you're going to stack the game. So, but I'm with you. I think.
I'm sorry. Funny story. The last time I went to a NBA game, I think I was in Atlanta, and I think I texted you that night as well. This was not last season, the season before, because last season was COVID. It kind of slowed down my going to the games. But I don't know if you remember this, but it was when they had that fantasy championship on FanDuel. And I remember stacking the Utah-Atlanta game because I was going. And sure enough, at the end of the night, I was in first place most of the night. And right at the end, Sacramento just edged me out. I think I remember sending you that saying, look, man, I've been in first all night and ended up coming in second. I mean, it was just brutal. Point is, listen, if you go to the game, you better stack it. I mean, it was still a good night. Just didn't get my qualifier seat.
As far as anybody else here, like Jalen Brunson, like his price has definitely caught up. Porzingis, 8,200. I don't think the matchup is terrible against Orlando, but the 8,200 on a slate where we have a lot of studs we can kind of pay up for. I'm probably with you. Like, you know, I always think you could take shots on like Hardaway or Richardson or Finney Smith, but I don't know if this is the slate that you're necessarily going to have to do it. Orlando hasn't been playing great defense and Dallas hasn't been playing great defense. So this should be one of the higher scoring games on the slate. What are we looking at here for the Orlando Magic?
Well, Vooch is, I think he's in play, man. At 10-2, I really like him a lot. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with Evan Fournier, right? Because, you know, I've played Evan Fournier a few times. And here's the thing. Against Utah, what should have been a little bit tougher of a matchup, I mean, the guy puts up 37 fantasy points and he shot 7 for 20. Like, shot 35% from the field and still put up over 30. And I've been banging the drum on the fact that, you know, Dallas's defense has not been great this season. Their team I've been secretly targeting. So, you know, I like Fournier. If Dwayne Bacon's going to get 30 minutes again or close to it, I don't mind it. Like, so, you know, he would just be a flyer, though. But I think Fournier and Vooch are two guys I would strongly consider.
Yeah, I think – Al-Farouq Aminu is interesting. With James Ennis out, Al-Farouq Aminu has been in that like 22 minute range here for like three games now. It was like three games before the three games, and then they like started to bump his minutes up again. So I don't think he gets a ton of run here, maybe 25, 26 minutes, but I do think he is somewhat interesting in this spot. Again, like you said it, like Dallas, they've been a team that have struggled defensively in general this season. And like, even if you look at lately, they've been playing a little bit better defense, but like, okay, I'm not putting a lot of stock into that. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be pretty high scoring. And I think you have to have some exposure to the Orlando side of this game, and mostly through Vooch. Dallas allows the fifth most fantasy points to centers on the season, and Vooch is just he's taking 20-plus shots a game right now, and it's not going to stop. Nine of the last 10. Until Aaron Gordon comes back, until Cole Anthony comes back, until Isaac comes back, like he's just going to keep shooting. So I really like this spot for Vooch. If this game stays close, Vooch probably has a big game. We move on to the Pacers and the 76ers. No total in this game. Brogdon's questionable. Lamb is questionable. LeVert's out. Warren's out. Joel Embiid is questionable. And Tobias Harris is questionable. Good thing, Will, like, first of all, on our sponsor Superdraft, you don't have to worry about this game because the slate starts at 8 o'clock. But correct. The other thing is, like, good thing this game starts at 7, because this game dictates the slate. If Embiid or Tobias or both of them sit, if Brogdon sits, if Lamb sits, okay, this game is impossible to break down without the injury news, but we're going to give our first thoughts here. Let's start with the Pacers. Give me your thoughts with or without Brogdon. What are we potentially looking at? And like, it also matters like if Embiid and Harris play, because if they're out, this game probably stays somewhat close. If Brogdon doesn't play, this game is just, whew, good thing this game's at 7.
Yeah, man. This is how I feel about this game. If Brogdon is in, I don't think I want to play anyone from this game. If Brogdon is out, man, TJ McConnell played 46 minutes. Like, I mean, and that may have been overtime. I didn't watch the game, so guys, forgive me on that. But in my head, God, it must have been overtime. Could not have been. But it seems like if he's out, TJ McConnell is going to play big minutes, and I'm willing to play him at 6,100 in this spot. You know, I think Tobias is going to be out maybe, so – that's kind of where I am, man. But I don't really want to play a whole lot of guys. Like Sabonis at 10-1, maybe. I feel like if Embiid is out, I'm more inclined to play Sabonis. If Brogdon's out, I'm more inclined to play McConnell. But it's tough, man. If Embiid is out, maybe I want to play a little bit more Miles Turner. Like, it's a weird situation. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. Definitely, I think definitely weird is the right thing. But, like, if everybody plays in this game, it's going to be probably a competitive game that is probably priced pretty appropriately. If Brogdon's out, obviously, like, You're waiting on like the Jeremy Lamb news too, like that, you know, that obviously matters, you know, if he were to end up sitting or whatever. But if you take Jeremy Lamb and you take Brogdon off the floor, make sure if you're using Court IQ, that you take off Oladipo too, even though he won't show up. You got to type it in, you know, to get a real representation, like he was there. But Miles Turner, he definitely sees the biggest increase per 36 minutes. He's averaging 14 more fantasy points per 36, which is the biggest increase by a large margin. Aaron Holiday gets a bump. So I think Miles Turner becomes very interesting if we get news that Brogdon's not going to play and could potentially fly a little under the radar. And then on the Philly side of things, like if Embiid and Harris both sit, you're playing Seth Curry, Simmons, Shake Milton. If Embiid sits, I think you're looking at Ben Simmons. If Harris sits, you could potentially be looking at Embiid. So a lot of different ways to kind of approach the other side, depending on the news.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, Embiid is going to be a big time player in this game if he plays and Tobias sits. Like you said, if they both sit, like, man, Simmons, Milton, Curry. I mean, I'd probably be even willing to play Danny Green some. Like, he played 37 minutes over the weekend. Now, that was a overtime game, but still, man, like, you know, these guys are going to get serious run. I mean, Korkmaz might even be in play for a few minutes. So, that's where we are, man. I think – I just think that's where we are. If Brogdon sits and one of these Philly guys sits, whether it's Embiid or Harris, then I think we look at the pieces they have. If everybody plays, like you said, I think they're all priced appropriately. I'm just not as intrigued.
We move on to the 8 o'clock games, and this is where the Super Draft slate would start to get kicked off.
Yes.
Denver at Chicago. Assuming this game plays, right? Like, we're assuming this game plays. Like, we have no idea. I guess it was more. It would be more of like if anything comes out, right? If anything comes out, if anybody tests positive for the Bulls, right? Like, it's a contact tracing thing, isn't it? Like, from what I was reading.
Yes, that is correct. Contact tracing.
So we're approaching this game as it's going to play. There's a good chance this game doesn't play because of how careful the NBA is being this season. So, what are we looking at here on Denver, assuming that everybody from Chicago plays and everything's good to go?
Yeah, man. You know, I think some of these guys are going to be in play. I've been really getting some exposure to Jamal Murray. Price is up now, 8,900 on DK, which could be very risque, but I think in tournaments, man, 8,900 on Murray, I would be willing to, roll the dice. Obviously, we can always play Jokic, like, at 10-8. You know, I think he's a guy that's in play. Michael Porter Jr. at 7K now. That's kind of a stay away from me. He has been playing minutes, but, I mean, we have not seen the massive upside. I feel like most of the upside has been coming from Jokic and Murray, which is why I'm so interested in them. PJ Dozier is back, you know, played 14 minutes against OKC. He would be a flyer in this game because if there's any type of blowout potential – I do think PJ Dozier gets run. He's a guy I've been on a little bit heavily since the beginning of this season because I thought they wanted to get him, you know, a few more minutes here and there. And, you know, if they can, you know, put Chicago to bed early, he's just a flyer for blowout run that I think could possibly get you, you know, 20 to 25 points for 3,200.
On, you know, as far as like, man, Dozier's interesting. You know, especially like we know Jermichael Green, Harris, and Millsap are out. You worry about the minutes for Dozier. 15 minutes in his first game back is nice. Maybe he plays 20 at 3,200. Like, he's that potential like cheap guy you're just, you know, taking a shot on. You can always play Jokic. You could always play Jamal Murray. What are we looking at here for the Bulls, assuming everybody's good to go and they're playing?
Yeah, I think they're going to be good to go. I mean, they didn't have any positive tests. It was just the Raptors, and then they went through the contact tracing side. I think they should be okay. You know, with the Bulls here, man, they're just everybody's priced where they should be now, I think. Maybe Wendell Carter has a little bit more meat on the bone at 5,800. Like, maybe he's got to have an upside game, though. He could get there. But he would be, you know, the guy that I would maybe look at for kind of a flyer, not a flyer, but a mid-range play there. I know they're going to get Denver. I know Jokic has been fantastic. But at 5,800, Wendell Carter, he's got some meat left on the bone. And then that's about it. I don't really want to play any more of these guys. Garrett Temple is a guy that I've kind of looked at from time to time just because he's getting so many minutes. at 4,400, like, you could plug him in, but I don't think he's completely necessary. Don't want to play LaVine at 95. Don't want to play Kobe at 63. Pretty much going to be a pass for me with those guys.
We move on. We got Utah at New Orleans. 234.5 total here. Utah favored by 6.5. Utah's good to go. New Orleans has J.J. Redick as questionable outside of that. Both these teams healthy, and you know, we're definitely expecting this game to be competitive, high scoring. Both these teams scoring a lot right now. What do we like here for Utah?
And ironically, you guys probably won't guess where I'm going to start today, but I'm actually going to start with Royce O'Neale at 4,800, playing really good minutes. Look, you know, he's either going to get us 15 points or anywhere from 25 to 40. Let's just hope he's in the 25 to 40 range. But the guy's playing big minutes, not taking a lot of shots, but does get peripherals. And in a game where it's going to be up-tempo, perhaps has a chance for a few extra steals and blocks, a few extra rebounds, you know, a few extra layups. Like, that's kind of what I'm looking at with Royce O'Neale. So at 4,800, I like him here. You know, Mike Conley at 65. I don't hate it. You know, he put up 40 against the Lakers in 27 minutes. Obviously, we need him to dial up the upside, but I think if you're game stacking this game, he's a guy we look at. Donovan Mitchell at 86, man. He's been playing fantastic, but I don't want to pull the trigger here. This team is basically back to full health with Conley there. Clarkson is 64. Don't want to do that. Bogdanovich is a guy I wish I could play at 5,200. And perhaps this is the spot, you know, up-tempo game. You know, hopefully he can get up, you know, 12 to 15 shots or so. But that's about it. I do like Gobert at 7,400. I think that price is really fair. And so he would probably be my second favorite Jazz player. Him and Royce O'Neale are definitely my top two.
Oh, man, things you didn't think you'd come into the podcast hearing Royce O'Neale being a favorite play. But over 25 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4, you know, realistically, like 5 of the last 8, 6 of the last 8. So I don't hate that call. You know, as far as like Utah goes, you know, Donovan Mitchell kind of priced appropriately. I think he's one of the guys that could potentially go over 50 fantasy points on this team. Rudy Gobert, he's averaging 42 fantasy points against this team in 2 meetings already this season. Mike Conley is like right at that price where if he gets over 40, you're good. If not, it's probably too expensive for him. So, you know, this is one of those slates where it's definitely interesting. What do you like here for New Orleans?
Man, I feel like it's maybe just Steven Adams and maybe Eric Bledsoe. Like, I've been playing a lot, and I do mean a lot, Stevie, of Zion Williamson recently. I mean almost every day, and he has not been disappointing. At 9K, though, I think I can hop off. And I know he's been 8,800, 8,700, 86, but at 9K on DK, I think I'm more than willing to hop off the train here. You know, he's 8,900 on FanDuel, about the same. So that's kind of where I am, man. I think this team is a little bit better on FanDuel, where Ingram is 78, Lonzo 65. You know, you're getting Bledsoe at 53, Adams at 55. You know, so Adams and Bledsoe are definitely, in terms of, you know, for the price, probably my favorite plays. But I do like Ingram on FanDuel at 7,800.
Man, Zion has been like that beast mode that we saw so much of last season, 48 plus in 4 straight, you know, 6 of the last 7 games, 7 of the last 10 for that matter. 9K, if he puts up 48, like, all right, he's solid, but is he really gonna be like that guy? And the reason I say that is, you know, we have Brooklyn, San Antonio coming up with, you know, plenty of studs in that game. We have Charlotte, Portland coming up with studs in that game. We already talked about Jokic. I just, you know, we talked about Vooch. We talked about Sabonis. So I think Zion's in play, but I do worry about, like, is it enough on a 7-game slate to burn me if he puts up 50? And obviously the night before, it's like, well, I don't know. Like, you know, I'll let you know at – midnight on Monday night, you know. But speaking I think of
midnight,
that,
Stevie, at some point it's going to be midnight and the slate's still going to be going with MLB rocking. The Angels will still be playing, the Giants, the Dodgers. Man, we're getting close. Sorry, folks. Sorry, didn't mean to hijack it there.
Back this dude's trying to get me all excited. Let's go to Brooklyn at San Antonio. No total in this game. Kevin Durant out. Jeff Green and TLC both questionable. On the San Antonio side, you know, Gay is out. Vassell's out. White is out. Keldon Johnson's questionable. Conditioning for COVID. But, like, there's a chance that he could return here. Also, like, the NBA All-Star break is coming up. Like, I think it Thursday is the last day we have NBA games until, I think, next Tuesday. So I wouldn't be shocked if some of these teams are, like, super careful this week in general. What are you looking at here for Brooklyn?
Man, listen, Kyrie and Harden, that's it. I'm not playing anybody else from Brooklyn. You know, that's it, man. I'm not worried about anybody else on this team. They're going to soak up everything. If anybody else gets 30 or 40, good for them. You know, God bless you. But I'm just Kyrie and Harden for me.
Yeah. Who else do you realistically play? I think is, like, the biggest question. Like, we were on, like, DeAndre Jordan getting minutes and playing consistent and, like, he disappeared in the last game. I can't trust any of these guys. Like, outside of playing the studs, I can't trust these guys. I do think that, you know, we're going to be somewhat paying attention to, like, Shumpert's minutes here on, like, that 10-day contract deal. It's not anything to play DFS-wise, but Bruce Brown, if you're not playing Kyrie or Harden, would be the only other guy you could potentially take a shot on here. Let's go to the San Antonio side of things. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan back here. Keldon Johnson could potentially be back here. You know, you look at San Antonio and then you look at, like, what DeRozan did in the last game and you're like, why isn't he going to do it again in this game? Especially if Keldon Johnson doesn't play. He had a 29% usage rate the other night. He scored 32 actual points, had 11 assists. What do you like here for San Antonio?
Yeah, man, I'm with you. DeJounte and DeMar, D&D, Dunkin' Donuts. Those guys should be dunking some donuts in the rim if Johnson is indeed out. I think those are going to be the top two plays. I'm not playing Lonnie Walker. I'm not going to play some of these other guys. LMA played 23 minutes, 26 minutes, just not getting the minutes. I think those are the two guys you stick with. I know Trey Lyles played 36 minutes. You know, maybe Trey Lyles, but, like, all in all, same thing, same scenario here. Just Murray and just DeRozan. I really strongly consider Patty Mills, man. I like strongly, but I think I'm going to pass.
I think it's DeRozan and Murray. I could see this game going small too, especially with, like, Brooklyn. Not, like, they don't like to play DeAndre Jordan, so, like, I could see this game going small and Lonnie Walker getting a little bit of a bump, but I could see, like, Trey Lyles playing minutes again if Johnson's out. But Trey Lyles' price is kind of caught up to the production, so I don't think this is a game you're necessarily getting a ton of exposure to, but I do think it's a game that you want to pay attention to. We got Cleveland at Houston. No total in this game. It's a back-to-back for Houston. And on the Cleveland side, Dova, Drummond, Love, Nance all out. Osman is questionable. We know that, like, Christian Wood's going to potentially be out, but here's the question mark, right? It's a back-to-back for Houston. Is Wall going to play? Is Oladipo going to play? They've been careful with, like, Eric Gordon. We know that, like, Victor Oladipo was out just recently because of their really, like, you know, maintenance this right quad. So let's start with Cleveland. What are we looking at here for the Cavs?
Well, the main thing is this, man. And this is one of my favorite plays on the slate. Jared Allen. I know he's 8,500, Stevie. I'm fully aware of this. But this is one of those slates where he could get 50. Now, he dropped 61 on his team the last outing. But I'm saying 50. I'm not going that high. He could very well put up 60 again. But I think 50 is in the cards here. So he's one of my favorite plays on the slate. I think, you know, he's a guy you have to consider. We've got Sexton and Garland both priced way up now. So I think I'm just going to avoid both of them at these prices. Isaac Okoro has, for some reason, been playing a lot better for DFS purposes, but I'm not going to play him either. Main culprit here, man, Jared Allen, people. I know he's 8,500. Maybe it feels like sticker shock, but it's really not. They've given him the keys. They're playing him the minutes. He's producing. I love this. I love Jared Allen today on this slate. One of my favorite plays on the day.
They've unleashed him. He's unleashed.
I need a Jared Allen top shot. I need to go buy one of those right now.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think this is one of those spots where you're definitely looking at Jared Allen. If Osman is out, I think you're looking at maybe playing Windler, assuming that, like, he'll get upper 20s minutes and he's 4,300. If the game blows out, like, he's going to play minutes in that aspect of things. So if Osman sits, I think Dylan Windler is in play. I also think that, like, Garland and Sexton are always guys, if you think games are going to stay close, and with this being the second half of the back-to-back, this could easily be a game that stays close. Like, so, yeah, I think you're definitely looking at some stuff here for Cleveland. I think this is one of the most stackable games on the slate. What do you like here on the Houston side of things?
I think it's like you said, man, we got to decide if Wall's going to play. You know, I'm assuming, I don't know what to think about Oladipo, to be honest with you. But he's 7,700. If one of these two sits, then I think you can take the other one. Houston's just been on a downward spiral, man. Like, I hope my man Steven Silas can keep his job, another couple seasons. I mean, they've pretty much gone full rebuild mode. Shout out to Coach Silas. But, yeah, man, they haven't been able to really keep up with anyone. I think if, you know, this is a flyer. This is based on some injury news. If any of these guys sit, I think David Nawaba is in play at 4,700. You know, we've seen what he can do with, you know, 25 minutes or so. So he's a guy I would definitely consider. Daniel House is priced up now, so I think I want to avoid him. You know, but outside of that, I don't really want to play anyone from Houston until I get the news. But they're spiraling out of control. But I do like David Nawaba if, you know, one of these guards sit.
Yeah, they both could end up sitting. Nawaba, you know. Again, the revenge, right? He played with Cleveland, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he did.
This game is easily dictated by injury news. If Wall plays, Oladipo's out, you bump up Wall, you bump up Eric Gordon. If Oladipo and Wall sit, then Gordon's in play, Tate's in play, House is in play. So, like, obviously this one is going to be dictated by news. And, like, I looked before we started too, there was no reports whatsoever, about, like, Oladipo and stuff. But listen, I don't see these guys playing on this. I don't see Oladipo playing on the second end of a back-to-back. I could see other people playing on the second end of a back-to-back, but I don't see Oladipo playing on the second end of a back-to-back. We finish it out with Charlotte at Portland. Start us off with the Charlotte side of things, Will.
Well, for the past day's game, which it hasn't started yet for us yet, but it's kicking off soon. They're playing Sacramento, and Cody Zeller and Gordon Hayward were out. So we're really, really thin right now, backcourt and frontcourt, really, because, you know, Hayward's out and Devontae Graham was already out. And Zeller. So I think we'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow. but just kind of want to tee this up. You know, LaMelo's 87 and Terry Rozier is 8K. Portland is a team that I have targeted heavily. And, you know, you're not going to be able to play everyone from Charlotte, because paying $8,700 for LaMelo and 8K for Rozier is going to feel really uncomfortable. They've priced Malik Monk up to $5,500 as well, I think, in anticipation of if these guys are out, you know, at least they've got them priced appropriately. So I think Miles Bridges at 48 is a flyer that you can look at in this spot. They've got PJ at 62. Biombo at 34. I do want to see how they're going to handle him tonight. The other night, he only played 12 minutes. He is starting tonight, though, against Holmes, which means he will probably start tomorrow against Cantor if Zeller was out and these guys. So I just kind of want to see how that game flows. But Biombo at 3,400 on this slate, if everything, you know, rolls, you know, properly, he could be value, but I do want to take a wait and see approach with how they handle him in terms of minutes tonight.
Yeah, obviously, you know, with Charlotte being on the second end of a back-to-back, you're waiting on news. You know, it sounds like the Gordon Hayward hand thing and the Devontae Graham like knee injury. Like, I feel like they're going to be super careful here. Going like this is the week going into the All-Star break. This is a week that teams are going to be careful. It's something that we talk about every year. We're not used to the All-Star break being, you know, in March. Like, but I think if these guys are out, LaMelo, Rozier, they're going to be the usage guys. But I think you could look at PJ Washington, Malik Monk. Like you said, we are going to have a little bit better idea of what to look at with these guys after the game on Sunday, but we'll have some you know, minutes and stuff to look at, assuming these guys don't play. Let's go to the Portland side of things. You know, Damian Lillard over 50 fantasy points now in five of the last seven games. What are we looking at here for Portland?
Honestly, man, Portland's going to start for me with Enes Kanter. You know, I don't like to overpay unless we're in an upside spot. And I'm telling you right now, you know, we've just been decimated inside, man. I read an article by, of course, none other than Rick Bonnell. If you're following Charlotte sports, please, you want to follow Rick Bonnell. I mean, he's done this for years and years. He just talked about how we gave up so much on the inside. I mean, just dunk after dunk after dunk in the Golden State game. It was incredible. An incredible feat by the Golden State Warriors. Bottom line is this. We're getting abused inside right now, which makes me extremely intrigued with a guy like Enes Kanter. Makes me extremely intrigued with a guy like Dame who can get to the rim. So, you know, those are two guys I definitely think you want to look at. You know, I don't really want to pay $5,500 for Derrick Jones Jr., but I'm intrigued by him as well. Another guy that can just, you know, dunk city. So we'll see how it goes. I just wish some of these guys were a little bit cheaper, but they're not cheaper at the moment. But that's kind of where I am. Dame and Cantor, man, I like those guys.
That's gonna wrap it up. Let's get into our super draft play of the day. Will, I'll let you kick it off here. Who's your super draft play of the day?
No secret here, man. The multiplier isn't as high as maybe I wanted it to be, but I don't care, man. Listen, homeboy Jared Allen, he is such a slam dunk play today, man. Like, 1.3x multiplier. I'm expecting him to get 50. Love Jared Allen on this slate, man. Pretty much one of my favorites.
You know, this news is like really going to depend on Osman, but I just got done talking about Dylan Windler. I had him circle before we started because of like the production and stuff. This dude's getting a 1.95x. I love looking for these high multiplier guys. If he can get the minutes, if Osman's out, if he puts up like 20 to 25 fantasy points, that 1.95x is almost going to give you 2x. So he puts up 25, you're almost looking at 50 fantasy points from Dylan Windler. and could potentially be low owned as well. So I love looking for injuries and looking at values on these guys to kind of, you know, gain as much as I can. You just got done talking about like Malik Monk. You know, if he were to get minutes, if these guys are out again, he's a 1.8 multiplier. And if he's going to play almost 30 minutes, you know, if Oladipo and these guys sit, David Nwaba is 1.85. So a lot to look at over there on Superdraft. Appreciate them jumping on board. We talked about PJ.
Let me plug this too, Stevie. Sorry about that. Let me plug this too. Terry Rozier is at like a 1.45x. And I mean, he's pretty much a walking 40 with all these guys out. So it's incredible.
All right, let's get into the morning grind game, and then we're going to get out of here. Favorite play under 5K to 7X?
Oh, man. Let us see. I think I know who your guy. Well, you know, I think I got my guy. I'm going Royce O'Neal here, 4,800. I know he's been hitting like 25, but let's see if we can get a 35 out of you in an up-tempo spot here, Royce.
Dylan Lindner would be my guy if Osman's out. Like, again, I think this is a great spot for him. I'm looking at Trey Lyles too. I think this game potentially could go small and Trey Lyles could have a good game. So a lot of injury news that we're looking at. Like I mentioned, Aminu, Aaron Holiday, if Brogdon's out, would probably see an increase. So a lot of value that we're potentially going to get here. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
I actually think I'm going to go with Sabonis at 10-1. He's been playing fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but I think I'm going to take the under here with Sabonis.
Yeah, I definitely have him as one of those guys that I probably don't end up playing here. I talked about Miles Turner getting a huge increase if Brogdon's off the floor. So that's who I'd be looking at the most because of price too. My bust today is going to be Porzingis. I'm going to watch it live. He's going to bust in front of it. He's just not going to get it done today. So I'm going to go with Porzingis here. Favorite 6X play. Well, who do you got?
Man. I think I'm going to go ahead and go with DeRozan right now. Like, even if Keldon Johnson plays, I still think DeRozan gets off in this game. Like, I don't think that's going to impact him that much. So let's go DeRozan, man. I know he's 8,400. I mean, he gets anywhere close to 50, and I mean, we're printing here. So go DeRozan.
Yeah, you took my guy.
Oh, I had no clue either. Wow, I've been hanging out with you too much, man.
I'm telling you. Oh man, scrambling. Give me. Give me Colin Sexton. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Will, who do you got?
So I saved this one on here because I'm trying to figure out if people are going to be scared by the price. I could be wrong. I think there may be some sticker shock. Jared Allen at 8,500. I know I've talked about him all show, but at 8,500, maybe people are scared, especially if Embiid is without Tobias Harris. I think that'll filter some of the ownership away. I love Jared Allen on this slate, man. One of my favorites.
All right. I hope Boban plays some minutes.
You know, he's been getting minutes, right?
I know. Like, I'm not gonna pick him here, but he's getting minutes before his thing gets off. I just want to see him play. I'm gonna go with Alfred Aminu. Again, I could see them increasing his minutes and not really announcing anything. If they don't increase his minutes, he probably doesn't hit value at 3,800. So it's definitely a get weird GPP play today. Will, game selection, anything standing out to you today on FanDuel, DraftKings, SuperDraft, anything that you're looking at?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with
I know you got to be excited for the FanDuel single entry series this week, right?
I'm saving it. Listen, on Mondays, I'm saving that for you.
I'm just saying, I know you like the 222 on FanDuel, so I know you're excited about this tournament.
I'm salivating over here. Like, so here's the deal. And I don't want to say I didn't take the other one serious, because I did. But, like, this is the spot. Like, the 222 is the spot. Like, every day, let's just hammer it out, see how it goes. Definitely want to see if I can get a seat this week. So I'm going to be in the streets for sure, trying to get a seat. Secondarily, I will say on DK, man, and I've talked about this one a lot. Please, man, getting these single entry ones, right? I'm going to go down today, and I wanted to talk about, and this one isn't single entry, but the $4 on DK where it's 20 max, right? Man, such a great contest if you're trying to multi-enter. It's right in that spot where you can still hand build if you like to do that sort of thing and kind of get it the way you want to get it. Or you can lock some guys in and let it filter in some good players around there. But the $4, man, 20 entry max, one of the best multi-entry contests on DK.
Again, the single entry series over there on FanDuel, we got a 222 running over there. With that being a pay 25% of the field, top 10's getting 43%, min cash is 1.8. The rake is under 10% for that one. There's also a $1 single entry series tournament this week as well. So if you're not in that 222 range, no worries. We got the $1 single entry series over there. Somebody's going to turn $1 into 2,000. That is a 24% payout. Top 10's less than 20%. Min cash is 2x, but 16% rake on that one. We don't have a lot of spreads. Is there anything standing out to you? I'm taking the over in the Magic game just because I'm going and I want a lot of scoring. So full on hoping that game goes over.
Yeah, I'm actually going to roll with the other one that we have, which is the Pelicans and the Jazz. We've got it at 234.5. I'm actually going to take the under. I know they've been playing pretty quickly, but I'm expecting this to be a competitive game. I'm actually going to take the under on the 234.5 with the Jazz Pelicans.
All right. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Where's Malik Monk in NBA Top Shots? I was going to try to buy a moment, but he seems to not be there. And that'll wrap it up for me today, folks.
He's gonna go out and get you a moment on Monday. That's gonna wrap it up. Hope everyone has an awesome Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Just, man, I don't want to get sentimental, but remember, this is like right around the time that like all the COVID stuff really started to hit home. And stay safe. Don't stop living, but be careful and respect people around you. That's gonna wrap it up for Monday. Hope everyone has an awesome week. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more hoops. Good luck, and we'll see you then.